training rooms in here. We got a cold tub and a hot tub, lasers, all kinds of different
stuff. This is a practice facility.
And now this is a practice course.
Good night.
Florida State has cut the Virginia Tech lead to 24-20 with 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first half.
Florida State's gone back to the man-to-man defense now.
A lot of cat and mouse on, by both coaches as to what kind of defense. This is Snyder from the outside.
Here's Ed Young, going to replace Mickey Dillon.
Rodney Arnold for Florida State picked it up off the floor. Good pass down to Bozeman. Bozeman got a good pass from Ed Young.
I tell you, it's sure nice to see those forwards out and running. You get your forwards out and running, you get some fast.
Sit.
Florida State on the attack, Chuck. Ed Young, number 12 in the game now. Gilmore has three.
FSU, back after how many years, Lisa? FSU, after 37 years of back. I love it. Incredible. Incredible. I gotta take a couple shots.
Right before my junior season, this is how God used Florida State. I really felt led to go into the ministry, so gave up the full scholarship, moved back to Houston, finished up, went to seminary, moved to Dallas 28 years ago to start Fellowship Church. So FSU's played just a major role in the development of our church, because I always said to myself, I still say this, would one of my teammates understand what's going on at our church? I've always asked myself that question every single Sunday. I don't want to be too bold, but I have 2 years of eligibility left. And I'm thinking, what do you think?
We could have used you a few years ago. I think we're okay now.
Okay.
I'm here in the Florida State Arena where the Seminoles play. This is where it goes down. But I can't play like this. I gotta change, man. I need some serious FSU gear. It's so great to be back in Tallahassee, Florida at Florida State University. It's been some 38 years since I've been back to Tallahassee, and going back and being around basketball in the arena is just like, wow, something else. So I decided to wear my old school, it's almost like a sports bra now, or Spanx, old school Florida State a jersey as my name, still on the back. You might be going, man, that's in pristine condition. Well, when your lifetime average is 0.7 per game, you don't really use it that much. I have sat the bench a lot at Florida State, my freshman year especially, a good bit my sophomore year as well. But you know, it was never my desire to sit on the bench. My desire was to get out there and hit the court and play. And I think we have too many people, good people, you're on the bench as opposed to playing. Our goal is to get people off the streets, into the seats, onto the floor, so they will reach more. That's why we're here. So make sure that you're in the game, that you're playing your position, that you have the gear on, God's gear, and you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're shooting threes. If I can make a three, but I can't. Uh-oh. Three. There it is.
And the Seminoles score!
Young, to the ball, Ed Young. He's the best three-point shooter in Florida State history, another one. He holds up to three, that's what he does, the crowd's going wild.
Thank you.
Oh.
There's nothing like basketball. I just, you know, shoot around. Most people overrate their basketball ability. I know I do. But I think of all sports, we overrate our basketball ability more than any other activity. It's kind of funny. I don't know why it is, but we just do. Is this court amazing? I have never in my life seen a basketball court like this in church. I don't think it's ever been done in the history of Christianity. Okay. We had some 30 maybe volunteers and others to actually build this thing. So here's what I want you to do. Take out your smartphone, everyone. Take out your smartphone and take a picture of this court. Don't take one of me. Just take a picture of the court. And I want you to text this to at least five, because, you know, there are five people on the basketball court, five of your closest friends. And they better be here next week because we're having a $25,000 shooting contest. $25,000. We're having a basketball giveaway for all the kids, a free basketball. If we have over 1,000 guests, everyone gets Chick-fil-A, a Christian meal. You like that? I did too. We're doing all sorts of fun and games and what, are we doing anything else? Did I forget something? Doing all sorts of stuff. Oh, you won't believe all the celebrities that are coming in, but I won't tell you, because if I did, I don't think we'd have room for them. I'm going to try this spin one more time. This is a hard shot to do. Help me. Help me. See if I can do it. I'm going to try. I can't. Man, it's hard. I used to could do it back when I was younger. But look, I'm choking really bad. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. Well, I don't want to waste your time. Anyway, I'm beginning a series today called The Championship Life, and it's about March Madness. Do you know what March Madness is? Some of you do, some of you don't. March Madness is this time of year when the big NCAA tournament kicks off. You have all of these teams, all of these games, all of these players, all of these fans, and people say it's just madness. And sure enough, it's madness right here at Fellowship. Our world is going mad, I'll tell you that. These mass shootings, what's up with that? These celebrities paying hundreds of thousands of dollars under the table to get their kids in elite schools. My favorite, the government investigating the government. Is that the corrupt calling the corrupt corrupt? It's hilarious to me. Another investigation, they're investigating the investigation of the investigation. It's funny, 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 funny. It shouldn't surprise us that our world is mad, because bottom line is, we're not perfect, are we? Nope, we're not perfect. You know, we miss shots, we make shots, we commit turnovers and fouls, we live in a fallen place. So government is not going to do it. Education is not going to do it. Only heart transformation is going to do it. That's why I have the basket Bible here. Have you seen this? The basket Bible. And the Bible gives us the answers to living a championship life. So over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be in the book of James. The book of James. It's a New Testament book. And hopefully you have your outline, your handout. See the brackets on one side? You'll see a lot of these brackets, ladies. These brackets, it's kind of a tree diagram. And you'll see all the different teams. And it's a tree diagram that illustrates a knockout tournament. So you'll see the Elite Eight that I've listed, because the book of James talks about games, contests, trials. All of us are either preparing for a contest, in the middle of a contest, or emerging from a contest. So I've listed a few, and maybe you're in one of these, like a family trial. Surely not in a crowd this size. Surely our families are just hitting on all cylinders. Surely our families are just coast to coast perfectly, right? Families? You're thinking, wow, I'm a single parent. I've got a family situation, a family trial, Ed, you wouldn't believe. I have a situation with my niece, my nephew, my granddaughter, a family trial. They're serious. You got health trials. A couple of years ago, I had a health trial. I've been in good shape my whole life. The doctor said, hey, you have a valve problem in your heart. If you don't get heart surgery, you're gonna die in 6 months. That's a health trial. I had open heart surgery, I'm doing great. Surgery is successful, and you can see I still got the jumper. Oh, crud. You can see I still got the jumper. Oh, you can see. I used to make that before heart surgery. Still got the jumper. There you go. One for three. Still got the jumper. No. Okay, that's okay. So we all go through trials. You got marriage trials. Hello. Marriage is not the easiest thing, is it? I mean, when you're single, you're dating, you have an issue, you can just bolt. In marriage, you've got to work it out. Yeah, it's a trial. It's a trial. Then you got to think about a career trial. And then I think about a financial trial. A lot of people have financial trials. A couple of weeks ago, I was dealing with a family, and they have a huge pile of money, and they were having financial trials. And then several days later, I dealt with another issue with a family that they don't have very much, and they're dealing with financial trials. It's one of the major causes of divorce, financial trials. Career, character issues, emotional issues, and you'll see the answer, and I'm gonna give you the answer right now to these trials. Okay, let's say you're facing a trial, which I know you are, and if you're not, you will very soon. And you're facing this schedule, this contest, these games. Here's the answer. See it in pink, say it with me. Number one?
Yeah.
Number two?
No.
Number three?
Yes.
Number four? That's the answer. That's the answer to trials. So here we have James, the half-brother of Jesus. And James didn't even believe Jesus was the Messiah until after the resurrection. And if you read the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 1, James describes himself and he says, I'm writing this to the 12 tribes dispersed throughout the region. I think it's interesting that a basketball roster has 12 spots. It's kind of funny, isn't it? We love nicknames in basketball. You remember Dr. J, the big hands, you know, take off the free throw line, boom. The doctor, Dr. J. Now, LeBron James, King James. We have this new guy, unbelievable, Zion. I mean, what's his nickname? Just Zion, I think. He's so awesome. If you just go by one name, you've arrived. There's Zion. I mean, you know, that's it, you know? So it's interesting, these nicknames. Well, James had a nickname. James' nickname was Camel's Knees. He had jacked up knees with callus on them. You know why? He prayed so much, tradition tells us. He was on his knees so much. The half-brother of Jesus writes this book. And this book is about how to play the game, how to become a full court follower of Christ. That's the name of the game. So James was dealing with some issues that we're dealing with, people talking smack and not doing jack. Have you ever met somebody that talks a good game? You go, oh man, he talks a good game. She talks a good game. What does that mean? Well, they talk. But it's like, what? You're not walking it. So there's a difference so often between what we say, James is talking about it, and what we do. And we're going to find out in a couple of weeks. Do you know what James says? James was the guy that came up with just do it long before Phil Knight did. And lawyers, there might be a lawsuit here. James said, do it. He said, just do it. Are you doing it? Are you living the life? Are you discovering the championship life? I don't know. Are you just talking a good game? One time, when I used to play basketball a lot, I met this guy. I need to blow my nose if you have a tissue. Anybody have some sinus issues here? Anybody? Man, my nose has been running like a fire hydrant. Excuse me. Wow. Okay. Met this guy one time. He's from the West Coast. He was talking all this stuff about playing basketball. He was like, yeah, you know, I played college ball, Ed, like you and your friend. Okay. He looked at me, he was a tall guy, pretty muscular. I thought, all right, maybe he can play. We went outside on the asphalt, and when I just tossed him the ball, the way he caught it, I said to myself, this guy can't play. And sure enough, he couldn't play. He could talk it, he looked good, he couldn't play. That's what James is saying. James was writing out of frustration. He was saying, man, I want to go deeper with you guys, but the problem is you're talking all this stuff, but you're not walking it. You're not really maturing in your faith. Did you see that video of me at Florida State? Was that pitiful? With the Spanx on, you know? Gray hair. And in my mind, I thought, man, I look pretty good out there shooting the ball, you know? I'm going, yeah, I look really great and all that. But when I saw the film, I'm like, oh my goodness. Can anybody say problem areas? Can anybody say sports bra? It was awful, awful. Now, obviously I'm 58 years old. My birthday was yesterday. Happy. You know, in a lot of these Pentecostal churches I preach in, they have like birthday parties for their pastors. We don't do that. It's just kind of funny. Oh, it's your birthday? Wow. We overemphasize, overdo birthdays, don't we? Oh, it's my birthday week. Don't put me in a bad mood. It's my birthday. Oh, my gosh. Let's even be more narcissistic than we are. But I am 58, and when I watch that video, I'm like, I'm totally out of place. I mean, the uniform doesn't fit right. Do what now? Looking great, Pastor. Thank you. Very kind. Thank you. You're looking great, Pastor Ed. I like the way you said that, too. You didn't say you're looking great for 58. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me, oh, you look good for 58, man. No, just say you look good. When I look at my hot wife, I go, Lisa, you look good. I don't say, man, you look good, even though you're older than me. No, I don't. I wouldn't say that. I would not say that. You don't want to do that, do you? What was I was in some kind of a cool story. What was I saying before I got off into? What was I saying? What? Oh, I look totally out of place. And you saw me going up and down, and I was thinking in my mind, man, Ed, you look good. I wore the uniform, whatever, white hair. That's a game for 18-year-olds. You saw me standing around those young guys. I look pathetic. But I thought, oh, man, I look pretty good. No, I don't. I look awful. Basketball, college basketball, especially at Florida State in the Atlantic Coast Conference, is not a game for 58-year-old guys. I mean, white hair is just not. I've grown well past that. And that's what James was sort of driving at. He was like, what are you doing, man? You've got white hair. You're wearing a jersey. It looks like Spanx. You're trying to play a game for young people, man. You should be way more developed than that. Well, then James, he kind of throws us the curve. He tells us how to mature, how to grow in the Christian life. Think about outer space. Outer space, there's weightlessness. It's floating around. That's a problem in outer space. Well, on planet Earth, we have gravity that keeps us what? On the ground, grounded. God allows, he uses trials and difficult situations and circumstances to keep you and me grounded. God wants to build a championship life in us. And the first way is to count. You've already said it. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 2. And say count with me. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count. So count the score. When I was a little kid playing, you know, peewee basketball, I used to count my points during the games. I'd be like, all right, okay, I scored. Yeah, no, I missed one. Oh, I could have had score. Okay, all right, I scored. Oh, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. I got fouled. All right, free throw, free throw, free throw. All right, 1-1, 1-1. If I make this, I'll have 3 points. I used to think that. Let me see if I can make it. No, I missed it. Oh, crud. Well, I've got 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. Okay, 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. Maybe I can get 4 points. I got 4 points. Okay, four. I was counting. And a lot of people, when it comes to basketball, count, count, count. They count assists, they count rebounds. They count, they count, they count. This is what James is saying. When you face a trial, don't waste a trial. God doesn't want to waste a trial. Don't you waste one. Count. Count. The word count is evaluate. It's a financial term. In other words, the way I treat a trial either builds my spiritual portfolio or it detracts from my spiritual portfolio. How are you dealing with the trial that you're facing right now? God wants to use it to mature you. And God tests us, I like to say it this way, to make us strong. The enemy tempts us to make us do wrong. God allows testings and trials in his sovereignty. God does not, we're going to find out, tempt us. Yet, a trial, if we mishandle it, can turn into a temptation. But part of that is next week. So think about that trial. God wants you to put points on the board. He wants you to score. He wants you to face that marriage trial, that family trial. He wants you to face that character trial and back that thing down and, ooh, and score. That's what God wants. So count the score. One of my hobbies is tie-dyeing. Anybody like to tie-dye? Any tie-dyers here? Thank you. God bless you. Hands are going up everywhere. I'm one of the few that understand tie-dyeing. What is tie-dyeing? It's a process. You take a garment and you twist it or fold it. Use rubber bands. Then you put some dye in hot water, pot, throw the garment in it. It stays there for a while. It emerges. It cools down. You cut the rubber bands off, untwist it. Whoa, that's cool. Throw it in the wash, dryer. Boom! You've got a custom-made, tie-dyed shirt or whatever, you know? It's cool, tie-dyeing. Trials are that way. When God wants to build stuff in our lives, what does God do? So often he'll twist us, put a rubber band or two, around us. Ah, whoa! Turn the heat up, Throw us in there. We want some character die, some endurance, some perseverance, some honesty, some integrity. And then we emerge. We cool off. He cuts those rubber bands off, untwists the garment, throws us in the wash dryer. Wow. We're awesome. So you're being tie-dyed. I'm being tie-dyed in trials, and I don't, nor will you, understand all the trials. Trials happen. We live in a mad, mad, mad world. So count the score. Also, here's another basketball term. I'm just James. James talked about sports all the time in his writings. Know the fundamentals. Let's read the scripture together again. Know the fundamentals. Because you... Doesn't that sound like your typical athletic interview? Play our game, we'll win, Every athletic interview is the same. No matter what sport, play the game, and listen to the coach, and play our game, and we're going to win, And now the millennials like the like word, like we're playing, like in this game, like it's happening, like, and I got to like listen to the coach, and if I do it, like. Hey, millennials, do a like exam. You won't believe how many times you say like. And speaking of exams, God gives us exams, and if we keep failing them, he'll keep on giving us the same exam. You're wondering, man, why is this happening to me again? Why am I facing this same situation? God is using it because that first time you didn't really pass the test. There wasn't enough character. There wasn't enough die. There wasn't enough uniqueness. You were trying to control the situation. So evaluation, count the score. Information, know the fundamentals. Know the fundamentals because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So God has given you and me the court. God has given us the position. God's given you and me the ball. He's given us opponents. What are you doing with your trials? Don't waste a trial. Don't waste a contest. God's not. Don't do it. That's how we grow. That's how we mature. Know the fundamentals. Zion Williamson. Have you seen this guy play for Duke? Is he unbelievable? One of the best athletes I've ever seen in my life. However, let me be very critical here for a second. I hope he watches this. His shot, form-wise, is not good. It's off. He will never become a great shooter unless he changes his form. Now, when you shoot basketball, I didn't come up with this. I was taught by some really good shooters, some coaches. When you shoot basketball, if you're right-handed, for example, that's your dominant hand. The way to know if you're shooting right is you hold the ball like this, turn your hand around, and it should be straight. Your forearm should be straight, okay? And basketball is a game played on your fingertips. Your offhand, the hand you're not shooting with, just barely touches the ball, barely holds the ball. So when you shoot, you're shooting with your dominant hand. Zion doesn't do that. Zion uses too much of his right hand. Watch him during March Madness. He can make it a good amount of the time, but he'll never be a great shooter outside because his form is jacked up. His fundamentals, Zion Williamson, his fundamentals aren't right. So when he shoots it, Zion uses the right hand too much. That's why he's so inconsistent from the outside. That's why NBA scouts say, oh yeah, he's a great player, but he can't shoot. LeBron's the same way. LeBron does not have good form either. Stiffens up, falls back, very herky-jerky on his jump shot. LeBron is not a great shooter. He's a good shooter, not a great shooter. Steph Curry is a great shooter. What's his new kid for the Mavericks? Luka, oh, he's a great shooter. Form, fundamentals. How about your fundamentals? How about the fundamentals of the faith? Because when we're in these contests and in trials, we have to know the fundamentals. Do you know the fundamentals of the game? Dribbling. Shooting. Boom. Uh-oh. I'll make that. Shooting. Cheer for me. Okay, thank you. Passing. Defense. Oh, I'm a Christian, Ed. Really? I love Jesus. Really? Oh, that's great, man. Where are you involved in church? Oh, I hop around here and there. I show up, you know. I show up now and then. Really? Once every 6 weeks. Oh, so you're a Christian. That's a basic fundamental going to God's house, because if you're not into God's house, you're not into God. I can tell you that. How about your finances? Are you bringing the minimum worship requirement? No. Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you involved in the church? I love Jesus, though. That would be like me saying, hey, well, I love basketball, but I don't like a basketball. I don't like a court. I don't like shooting basketball. I don't like basketball players or basketball teams. I don't like March Madness, but I love basketball. You go, man, you're an idiot. You realize, I look at a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians. I go, man, you're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot. An idiot. Because in Dallas-Fort Worth, most people who think they're saved aren't. So I have to spend a lot of time getting those people saved, unsaved, before they can really get saved. James is like, man, you're talking all this smack. You're not doing jack. I want you to be a full court follower. I want you to absorb these trials and not to try to get out of the schedule, to face this team, even though they're tough, to face this team, even though you've had an off-shooting spree for the last, I don't know, several games. Face them. Count the score. Evaluate it. Know the fundamentals. Let the game come to you real quick. Don't force it. Let the game come to you. Don't try to force your way into a trial or out of a trial. Here's what the Bible says. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. I'm mature by working with the process. Let the game come to you. When I was in high school, let me blow my nose again. I got it. When I was in high school, I'll tell you the story. I was a good player. I could score pretty much when I wanted to. Not every time, but I could. Well, Lisa can verify. She was at all the games. I mean, I could play, you know, just go down there and, you know, score. Yeah, there I am in high school. I was a sophomore, Spring Valley. I scored on that play too. So in college, it was a different game. High school, I could score. College, oh man, all of a sudden everybody's 6'8". Everybody has a 40-inch vertical jump. And I take a shot like this in high school and I can score over people. But in college, they could be this far away from me and they would still block the shot. Whole nother level. So I discovered something playing college. I had to let the game come to me. If I had an open shot, I would shoot it. If I didn't, I would get rid of the ball. In high school, I could force it and make it happen. What are you doing trying to force it in the trials? Now, I'm not saying that we're passive. We're not. God doesn't want passivity in any of our lives. However, we have to let the game come to us. We have to say, God, I mean, you're twisting me. God, the rubber bands are there. God, the heat is on. God, the die is in my life. God, I want to get out of here. Maybe God's not ready. Maybe he's not ready to take you out, to cut the rubber bands off, to dry you out, to put you in the wash and to dry you. Maybe in this situation, you're just not ready. That God still wants to deal with stuff in your life. Let the game come to you. The last one, and then we'll cruise. Ask for the coach's help. Coach, obviously, being the Lord Jesus, and the Bible says, you can see it behind me, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, how many educated idiots do you know? Wow. That's one of the great things about social media. You can see how many people are educated who just not that smart. You know, they're smart in one way, but James says it's about wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. God knows. He is ultimately wise. He's omniscient. When we ask him, he will coach us and give us wisdom. How ludicrous do I look when I'm facing a trial and God is on the sidelines and he wants me to ask him for help, but I have a freedom of choice. I either turn and go, hey, coach, what's up? Or I go, no, God, I got this, man. I got it. I can play by myself. Lord, I can do it by myself. I'm telling you. Ask for God's wisdom. He has wisdom about your marriage, wisdom about the child-rearing challenges, wisdom in character issues, wisdom when you're tempted to cheat on that test, wisdom when you're about to post something you know you shouldn't post, wisdom when you're about to log on a website you shouldn't log on. God has wisdom. Trust him. Trust him. He's given us the ball, uniforms, the court. He wants us to go coast to coast, and the way he works is through trials, game after game after game. But here's what we do. Oh, Lord, I want a miracle. I just want to go from miracle to miracle to miracle to miracle. And there are a lot of churches, a lot of people that talk about that. Yeah, does God perform miracles? Yes. But the Christian life is not lived miracle after miracle after miracle. It's not. It's lived on the court. It's lived grinding it out. It's lived so often in the monotony, so often in the quiet place. Are we gonna have miracles? Yes. Are we gonna play in the Final Four? Yes. Are we gonna have championships? Yes. But it's about those trials. Put the brackets back. Put those brackets back up there. Is that cool? Family, health, friendship, marriage, career, finances, character, emotion. Let's say it again. Count. Let's say it again. Count.
No.
Let. Ask. Well, it's about time to go, but I wanted to share something with you that is, for me, you know, pretty authentic. I mean, it's real. I've never really shared this before, but I was thinking after our trip to Florida State, I was thinking to myself why I hadn't been back in all those years. I was thinking to myself why I have sort of been estranged from Florida State for almost 40 years. I mean, I shouldn't be. I mean, I am a letterman there and had a full scholarship, played a little bit, but once I left, I'm like, I'm out, man. People sometimes would ask me, oh man, I'm sure you follow Florida State. No. How are the Seminoles doing? You know, really, I could care less. That's what I was saying. And I was just thinking about why, Ed, why? And then it hit me. I know why. I didn't want to talk about Florida State, or I know why I didn't go back to Tallahassee, because athletically, it was the sense of my failure. I was a much better player than I played at Florida State. I just got into my mind and never really did what I should have done. I had moments that was okay, maybe a month, but that's about it. So because of failure because my lifetime average was 0.7 per game, I'm like, I'm not going to think about that or talk about that. I'm not going to turn that over in my mind again. It's a failure, man. I blew it. I had a full scholarship. I can tell you games like against Minnesota and Georgia and games against Missouri that I had an opportunity and I blew it. But I thought, man, I'm going to go back. I'm going to take a step back. And when I took a step back to FSU through a unique set of circumstances, the head coach found out I was coming back, that I was a former player, and he was like, man, we roll out the carpet for former players. I want you, he told me when I met him, to speak to our team. What? Here's all this gear that only the Florida State players have. I have it. I'll wear it during the series. You'll be jealous of it, man. You can't get it. I might put it on eBay. I don't know. And then he told me, he goes, hey, whenever you and your family want to go to any game, you tell me you're sitting on the front row behind me. This is the head coach at Florida State. He wasn't my coach. And I really felt honored, even though I was a bench warmer. That's the gospel. I mean, I'm estranged from the God of the universe because my moral average is about 0.7. I don't want to think about that because, man, I've screwed up so much and I've made so many turnovers. I mean, no. Yet, God tells me if I take a step toward Him, you're talking about honor? He sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. You're talking about honor? If we take a step of faith toward Him, He'll receive us. He'll give us new gear, a new life. He'll put us on that front row. That is what it means, friends, to have a championship life. Have you made that decision? Have you made that choice? You might be saying, well, Ed, I don't know, I'm indecisive. That's a choice. Say yes to Jesus. Because when you say yes to Him, He'll show you what life, what games, what trials, what contests, what maturity, what being a coast-to-coast follower is all about. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this exciting time that we can talk about the game of life, that we can talk about what happens when we face ordeals and contests and trials and tribulations. God, I thank you that it keeps us grounded. I thank you that within the midst of it, that's where growth happens. And I pray, God, oh, how I pray that every single person hearing my voice owns that, appropriates that, and they begin to put application and activity as they make this a reality. Maybe you're here and you've never asked Christ to come into your life. You feel estranged. You feel like, man, your lifetime average is 0.7. Just simply say to God, God, I admit to you, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I repent, I turn from my sins and turn to you. And I receive you, Jesus, into my life. You take the basketball, Lord. You take my life, my future. I'm yours. If you prayed that prayer with me, that's the greatest decision that you'll ever, ever make. and the God of the universe and the stands of heaven, the fans of heaven are going wild right now with joy because you have made that decision. So, Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the book of James that is so practical. And God, just as we walk through this over the next several weeks, continue to bless us and encourage us and build within us the kind of uniqueness that you desire. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord.